Hebrews chapter 6. And before we get started there, you know, I want to, it should be on the heart of each and every one of us to keep in prayer those people that are down there in Florida and the Carolinas and whatnot. We know that right here from among us, there are a few families that have gone there, Susan and Ross. I'm not sure, are they there yet? Did they go back? They're leaving today. Well, I hope they have something to go back to. And we had a family here last week from Daytona Beach, and where they lived basically is gone. Goes on and on. And we have the Donnie and Sherry Mills, very close to wherever that's hooking. Okay, so they're good. But keep everybody in prayer because, you know, I guess I'll speak for myself. There's events happen in our lives daily, don't they? And they get us to just feel like, that's it. I'm over. I'm done. I can't handle. Can you imagine if we had to deal this morning with what the people of Florida are dealing with? No home, and not just for this week, but for maybe another year or two, and everything. So let's, Father God, we are praying for them. You have a plan for each and every one of them. We just ask that you'd hold them up during this time, Father, the weariness, the hands, the knees that'll be just bent and weary, Lord. Just lift them up, strengthen them, and help us to just be so aware of the blessings that we have today, each and every one of us in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Walt and Michelle, don't mean to embarrass them. Walt just told me that they're going to be heading for Texas next week. It's been wonderful having them here. And make sure you give them a hug before you leave. And pray for a speedy return home. So we'll see. And before we get to Hebrews, I just wanted to, we're going to go to the table this morning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, when he's explaining the purpose of the table and the body and the blood of Christ, he made a statement in verse 28, says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You know, we do that every time we go to the table, or we should. We're great, I think, Christians, in examining everybody else, aren't we? If so-and-so only did this, if he only did that, if she would listen to that, we're just experts at examining other people. The Word of God tells me, examine yourself. And I think it's a good introspection, not just at the table, but as we're trying to put Hebrews into some type of application in our lives, I need to examine myself. And that verbiage in that is, it's not just a one time, oh, looking pretty good, look pretty good. It's over and over and over again. Daily, we should examine ourselves. Am I in the faith? Where is this something that I can hand to the Lord? Because I'm not doing a good job on it. Or this is out of my wheelhouse. There's nothing I could do, Lord. But if I examine myself, give that to the Lord, I feel that's what he wants to look at today, is our hearts. And you couldn't have picked, whoever did it, a better song than the oil and wine just now. That's something that God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. So I hope that we can see in this examination of ourselves, we can also see an application for each of us on what Paul was trying to tell these new converts, these Christians. Some had been going on for a while, but the things of life got to them. Pressure, persecution, friends that maybe left them because they left the Jewish faith. And so just keep piling up on that. What happened that made those people want to just go back to something that was easier? And I feel that each and every one of us are assaulted by the enemy on a daily basis. What might get you doesn't get me. What the enemy might bring you, and I think, why would that get him? Or you look at other people's life and say, my goodness, how can they keep on going with the weight that they have to carry? It's because Jesus said, let me carry your burden. It's way too heavy for you. You weren't built for that. But he also let us, I feel, gave us an insight in this chapter of Hebrews, not only are we not built to carry these burdens, he wants to carry them for us. Don't give up. Don't give in to those pressures, because again, where else can any of us go? If anybody has a real good answer, where else can we go besides the Lord to carry the burdens that we have, to give us a promised hope and a future that we are going to see hopefully today, to be in that life better than anything we can ever think of today? Where else can we go for that? It's not there. It's not out there. And I feel that's our point and position as Christians today, to mobilize ourselves locally, if we would, in our families, in our friendships, in our town, everywhere we go. I think that we're at a time frame where people need to see Jesus. And it's nothing, you know, it's not putting on some, you know, Armani suit. And it's just everyday life. And people need to see that Jesus Christ is there in everyday life, in the muck, in the mire, in the good times, whatever it might be. And I feel that's what Paul's telling these guys. One more round, guys. That's all he's saying. Don't give up, all right? Throw a little water on you, buff your head with the towel, and say, get going. One more. See what you can do. That's what I hope to present to myself and my spirit today, because I've been trying to figure this out, Lord. What is it? What is it that is being said to each and every one of us, not just some of us? You and I need to apply this to our lives today. So Hebrews 6, we left off last week in 7 and 8 about, excuse me, what happens in a parable, if you would, or a word picture of branches that are useless with no fruit. They get burned up, pretty simple. Over here, fruit branches that have fruit on them, oh boy, they just keep bearing fruit, and he purges them and he cuts them up and he gets them to produce more fruit. And I was thinking this, wow, anybody have a fireplace still? Yeah. Do you ever throw in like an apple tree with apples on it? No. I thought, wow, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You throw in some old, dead, rotten, you know, wood. Well, not rotten. Or not green wood, right, Cece and Steve? Because I gave them a lot of that this year. It's like, you'll burn it next year, though. So with that analogy, he goes on to say, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, which was what we were talking about, and we'll continue, those things that accompany salvation. What are they? For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Keep on going. Don't give up, is what he's saying. And we desire that every one of you, every one of you, and I'd have you underline it. If you don't take notes and you have a pen, underline it. We desire that every one of you show the same diligence of what? Work and labor of love towards the saints. And not just saints, but every other person that God puts in our path. He's praying that we do the same thing to the full assurance of hope to the end. So we're going to be looking at that. And last week I said what the Lord was showing me when I asked him, what are those things that accompany salvation? Well, it's more than going to church, isn't it? It's more than going to a prayer meeting or a Bible study. There's these other things that for some reason they haven't made the top 10 list, let's say. We have all these other things that we say, this is my service for the Lord. This, I have my devotion, and I can't detract from my devotion. When somebody might be calling up and saying, can you come and help me? We think of these things, well, no, I can't come on such and such a day because I have this or that I have to do. God is saying he wants us flexible. He wants us laboring in this work of love towards saints and everybody else. So I've said, what was that, Lord? For me, it came up as compassion and mercy. I remember saying that last week. And the Lord showed me to use it as a bellwether for my heart. You know, sometimes, again, the song, what can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. What's happened with time to our hearts? Not all of us, but some of us, if we're brutally honest, the compassion is gone out of some of our lives. I've watched it dwindle in my life. And that's not a picture of my Lord, because he's a Lord who's merciful. He's a Lord that's abounding in mercy and compassion and forgiveness and kindness and love. Those are the things that accompany salvation. How are they in my life? We looked at the fruit of the Spirit, and I'd encourage all of us to go back into Galatians 5 and look at the fruit of the Spirit. Not, oh, I got joy. Oh, boy, I'm happy when I get to watch the Broncos and eat a bunch of finger food. And it's something that should be produced by each and every one of us. Just this, it's a cornucopia, in Tom's word, a fruit, you know? But we're supposed to be bearing things that accompany salvation, that when people look, they can see it. And again, compassion and mercy should be a bellwether for our hearts. Put something in there and let's look at Jude. So we're being told not to quit. Show the fruit in our lives, each one of us. And we remember there were levels of maturity. There were levels of fruit production, if you would. Last week, it was some 30, some 20. You know, there's, not everybody's the same. But we are expected to bear some of that fruit. And I think a way that the nurturing of that fruit starts to come about in our lives is when we look and act and think and speak like our Lord did. And he was full of compassion and mercy. I think it's a good springboard for each and every one of us trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? What does God have for my life? I think today, if we start with that, like, make me like you, Lord. He was compassionate. Think about what he did when he came in your life. I remember what he did in my life. Man, that was just mercy beyond measure. And it was compassion for, he didn't ask questions to me like, why, what are you, stupid, Doug? Why are you doing this? Or why'd you, he had compassion and pulled me in and said, let me help you. Let me carry that burden a little bit. But me, I look at sometimes things going on and I, look at that moron. What's he thinking? What's that one doing? Got it where you want it? In the words of our old Vic Hansen, got it where you want it, moron? You know? I won't go into that story. But that's what happens to us. He was driving a truck and a guy cut him off and he slid and he spun around. He went into the ditch out there and Vic rolled down the window and yelled out, you got it where you want it, moron? And then he came to church and he thought, what if that guy comes to church today? Huh? We laugh. We've all done it, right? It's almost like talking about Betty Mosh at the traffic circle. Pat sometimes hangs out the open window pointing at the sign, yield to the left. That's not compassion, and that's not mercy. And I think I want to see a little bit more of that in my life. So Jude, and again, remember when he said in verse 9, but you, beloved, Paul had better things. He was persuaded. He understood. He was convinced that not of you guys. And here again, what we look and we see in Jude is in verse 20, but you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building, that's what we've been talking about. Remember, Paul said in the beginning of Hebrews 6:1, let's go on, let's build on this foundation, let's get a structure going. And here it is again being told to us. Why? As a parent, I've said, how many times do I need to tell you to our children? God, in a loving and a merciful and a kind way, is telling us, build yourself up, Doug. Let's get going on this. We don't have much time. Build on your most holy faith. We build on a lot of other things in our lives, but he's saying, build on that faith. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge goodness. It tells us all these things that daily we should be putting into our lives. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves. Military, again, terminology, surround myself. Put a circle around me and realize that's where I belong, right there. That circle is God, the presence of God. Keep myself in there. Now, can I do that? Boy, sometimes it gets pretty hard, doesn't it? but I can do it with the strength that the Lord gives me. It's not like I'm going to be doing it. It's, Lord, please, please. And he'll do it. Looking for the mercy, and there's that mercy again. We look for it. Why shouldn't other people look for it? Did you hear what that guy said to me? That's a Christian. Where's the compassion? Where's the mercy? So again, what I'm looking at is maybe our building needs a little bit more of this than some other things. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, which is what he's promising us. And of some, in verse 22, have compassion, making a difference. So that compassion that we have for others, a kind word, maybe a hand on somebody's shoulder, maybe not giving my opinion, which sometimes I think, you know, the book I want to write is, you know, Second Opinions by Doug, and this is what I think. Showing somebody compassion, just, I'll pray for you. I'm going to seek the Lord and find out what he wants in your life. The Word of God said that's going to make a difference, compassion. A small thing. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. How many times do we not do exactly that? And the compassion is missing. And we don't try to find out first, why is that person in that situation? Why does that person think like that? Why does that person act like that? If we or I have more compassion in my life and mercy, I won't ask those questions. I'll ask, how can we get going out of this pit today? How can I help you to be lifted up? These are the things that accompany salvation. Verse 24, now unto him that is able, and he is able when we're not, to keep you from falling, those of us who think we stand. The word says, take heed lest you fall. If we have a question without compassion, why a person is acting like that, doing that, how he got into it, maybe God will give us an opportunity to find exactly why that's like, how that feels for the person, why that situation came into his life. He's able to keep each and every one of us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. I love that. Compassion, mercy. I don't know about you, but I can't call Home Depot, but I need to call the Lord and say, send me a truckload of compassion and mercy this week. I'm out of the building material and I can't go another step without adding that to this foundation that I'm on. Let's go back to Hebrews 6. Wow. So the normal man, the normal woman, our inner child, if we would. I'd like to get a hold of him, shake him a little bit, but our flesh, our humanness says, why? Why should I feel like that? Why should I have compassion? Here it goes. The guy's a bonehead. He did that to himself. Why should I have compassion for him? Why should I even consider the fruit of my life that I need to have more compassion and mercy? I mean, I think that comes across to some of us, if not just me. That question of why. And I sat there and thought about it a lot this week. And I felt that because God is merciful to each and every one of us, God was merciful to each and every one of us. He knows what we do. He knows why we do it. And this work and labor of love towards his name, he wants us to do that for a reason. Question, why should I have compassion? Why should I work towards compassion and mercy towards the saints first and to those that are out there? It's because God said so. A John Gibneyism, when Ted and I would say, why do we got to do that, Dad? And he goes, because I said so. Teddy and I knew, don't ask another question after that. That was it. Just go do it. God's telling us, go do this. And not only that, but I have something for you, which we're going to look at, because he's not unrighteous to forget this work. That's rewards, which a lot of us Christians don't really think about on a regular basis, or the common state, well, I'm not really interested in the rewards. We should be. They're things that he has prepared from eternity for each and every one of us, for everything we've done, for the way we've thought, for the way we've acted, the things we do in his name, and there will be either a loss or a gain of those rewards. So why should I feel the way that Paul is trying to tell these guys? Don't give up. Don't give in. Have some mercy. Have some compassion. Never touch the glory, though, because, like I said, God in these rewards, he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've shown toward his name. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And sometimes some of those things are so simple that we miss them during the course of the day. So I'm sorry that I told you, let's go to Hebrews, but put something in there. Go to Matthew 25. Some of these actions, the things that accompany salvation, and I'll keep repeating that because that's what we're looking at. Some of them are so simple that I think they escape us on a daily basis. They're not works of grandeur. They're not really big out there with trumpets being blown. They're small, little works of mercy, little works of love, little works of compassion towards somebody that as we look at it, it's not that big a deal. But in the scheme of eternity, it can have a difference in one person's life. That's how critical I feel it is. So Matthew 25, let's look at verse 35. Remember I said those things of compassion, mercy, love, things that we add to our salvation. Here he's talking about the judgment of nations. There was wise and foolish versions prior to all that. 35 says, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Things that accompany salvation. Again, so I don't lose track of where I'm going. That's the point that I think God's trying to get into our lives. And these little minuscule acts of kindness and all of this are those things that God is asking us. Well, at least it wasn't a tomato, right? Let's all throw our cell phones. That's a great idea. Get rid of them. Remember when Netherland didn't have cell phones? But we had pagers going off. Remember, Rick? When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Christ is with us more than we think, guys. He's with us more than we understand on a daily basis. And if I want to get going in my salvation and think that, you know, if I add more Bible study, if I add another hour of prayer, if I add another of this and that, what I think we need to do is get going here. When the opportunity arises, and all of a sudden, is it Matthew 10, 42, somewhere in there? If you give a cold drink of water to one of these little ones, you've done it to me. Just these simple, small acts of compassion and kindness is what the Lord is looking for. And he rewards that service. So I better get going to that. Remember, it said he's not unrighteous to forget. So he's talking about rewards. Rewards for the service that each and every one of us have done in his name. Again, not for somebody to look at any of us, but to be pointed towards him. So let's take a real quick walk through 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I hope this is, you know, it encourages us. Let's dig into this, because this day is coming. We're going to stand before him, the word says, every one of us, and we're going to give an answer for the things we've done, whether they're good or they're bad. And it's the time that he's going to give us these rewards or say, I had this for you done, but I can't do it any longer. These should be important things to us. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. Not my statement. And we're being told, build. Let's get going. Let's add to the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Again, put this to Hebrews 6 in your study this week. He's not unrighteous to forget our labor of love and work. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he will receive a reward. Wow. I think in the Greek, isn't it mythos or something like that? It's pay for service. Now, be careful with where you go there, but the Lord is going to reward us for the service that we've done. If any man's work, verse 15, will be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're not talking about working for or losing our salvation. We're talking about this life needs to go forward. And I feel in a stepped up way, because the time is really short. We're not going to lose our salvation, but there is a chance of losing everything that God ever compiled for each one of our lives. And one of the ways, I think, to start building again, and I've said it too many times, is compassion and mercy on those that are outside of the faith, and for those that are inside the faith that are stumbling and having a hard time carrying burdens that none of us probably could bear at this present moment besides what we're doing. What a way for the Lord to step in and reward us. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll just keep making right-hand turns. 15:58, as far as rewards. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. That means steadfast. Doesn't mean give up. Doesn't mean slow down. It means keep going at the pace that you're going. Be steadfast. Unmovable. What moves you? Remember Paul and I said, none of these things move me. What's moving us off this mark? Look at it. Identify it. And I feel challenge it in the name of the Lord. And that's where we just need to say, get behind me, Satan, because I've got a place I need to go. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what he was just telling us. Galatians 9, let's keep turning. Galatians 6, verse 9. Yeah, but you know, I've been doing this for 30 years, or you don't understand how much work I had this week, and now you're asking me to be compassionate, to be merciful. How about if our Lord had that mindset? Can you imagine? You know the week he had before this? And what if he just said, wait a minute, I just had a terrible time. I don't think I have another ounce to go. I can't do that for you. No, he just kept going, steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, when is that? We don't know. It could be any minute. Our lives can go today. Our life might go tomorrow. Some of us, as we were joking, it might drag on for years. But if it does, can you imagine what God is going to have on that well done, good and faithful servant? Come on in. What a thing to hear from the Lord. That's why we build, as the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage these early Christians. Don't be weary in your well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, everybody, not the ones we want to include or exclude, all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's like it's a given. We're supposed to be doing this with each other. This is almost like a boot camp. This is practice. If I can't love you, if I can't have compassion on you, if I can't show mercy for whatever it might be, how am I going to do it to that guy out there? You know, and I'm using Tom. That doesn't, but if I've known him for how long? 40-something years? If I get to a point where I don't have compassion and mercy on my brother like that, how can I even think I could step out that door and tell somebody how much they need Jesus? It's not going to work. This is our boot camp. This is our training field. We're getting ready for the 10K, you know? It's like, start working. Even if we're running, let's go. Come on, let's do it together, is what I feel that the Lord is trying to put across to us. Because some of us right now, oh, can I, let me do one more. One more, James. Why should I do this? What's the purpose? What's the point? Where do you see this one for works, if I can ever find it? James is what I'm going to ask us to. James 1, verse 12. Why, remember again, why? Why compassion? Why mercy? Why work? Why loving the body of Christ? Why going out there into this town and this world that we have? It says, because blessed, in verse 12, James 1, is the man that endures temptation, and we're tempted to give up like they were. We're tempted to say, I've had enough. Oh, I'm not going to give up on the Lord. I'll just sit home, and I'll read my Bible, and I'll watch the TV and watch my sermons there. I'm not giving up on the Lord, but I'm not having anything to do with any of these guys. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. So it's not just sexual lust, let's say, or drugs or alcohol. There's so much more in this. Resisting the urge that God is saying, I want you to have mercy and compassion. That's a temptation. No, he's hurt me too much. No, she's done this to me. I can't. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he will receive the crown of life. What a reward. That's one of the, there's five crowns that we should probably look at, and I don't have time to do it, but we're going to receive this crown of life, eternal life. And that's why we're supposed to be doing what we're doing. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's when we're going to throw them down. I'm not worthy of this, but just because, why am I getting it? Which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That's all I got to do is love him. Just love him, and then all these other things are going to start falling into line. If I love him more than anything, that's when I'm going to give him the permission to show me how to have compassion. Show me how to have mercy. Show me how not to say what I want to say so bad at this point in time. That's what the Lord is saying, and for that, we get a crown of righteousness. What a reward. Don't give up. God knows is how I wanted to end this whole thing. God knows what you're going through. God knows how hard it is for some of the things that each one of us endure in our family lives, in our daily lives, and how the enemy can come in and somehow so subtly take that away from us. When inside, what we really want to do is be more like Jesus, don't we? I want to be more like him. And like Paul said, the things I want to do, it's like I do the exact opposite. And the things that I don't want to do that I'm saying, no, not me, I'm doing those things. He knows the battle that we're in. And I think as these days get closer and closer, the battle is going to start to heat up like none of us ever thought possible. Could this really happen? The answer is yes. What we're seeing on the world scheme right now, and I don't want to get political, that is natural. That's just natural happenstance of man, his debauchery, his lasciviousness, whatever you want to put in there. When God starts to pull back, when he starts to shake everything that can be shaken, we best be ready to run to him in love, to run to him for mercy, to beg him for that kindness and the help that we're going to need in our time of trouble. Don't give up. This is what we're going through. This, it's bad. And I look around, I think of what you're enduring. It's bad. It hurts. It's hard. But don't give up, because God can come in. I wanted to end with this, and I hope what I do with it. I found this statement on verse 10 of Hebrews 6 from William Barclay. I don't know if some of you have probably read Barclay, but if we could endure this as I read it. But it turned on such a light for me. Barclay makes a statement here that challenges the heart of those who might be cooling off towards Christ, maybe getting ready to just step back in some form or fashion from what we know as Christians is what we should be doing. And he says there is a great practical truth in this verse 10. Sometimes in the Christian life, we come to times which are arid. So, beautiful wordsmith, this man too, but it's dry. It's hot. I'm done. I can't even breathe. Sometimes the church service has nothing to say to us. Sometimes the teaching that we do in Sunday school means nothing. Or the singing that we do in the choir, or the service we give on a board or a committee becomes a labor without joy. Do you ever have that? Let's be honest. It's like it's like walking through molasses. This is hard. It shouldn't be. And those times come on all of us. At such a time, there are two things that we can do. We can give up our attendance and our work of love. Give it up. He says, but then we'll be lost. Not lost salvation-wise, but just what's our point and purpose then? Where are we going to go if we just give up? Where are we going to go if this doesn't satisfy anymore? We can go on grimly with it. And the strange thing is that if we do, the light and the romance and the joy will certainly come back again. In the arid times, the best thing to do is to go on with the habits and the routine of the Christian life and the life of the church. If we do, we can be sure that the sun will shine again. Amen. Man. Amen. And there was one time when Charles Stanley gave a sermon, and you'll remember it. Some of you have listened to Charles. He was talking about, but I don't feel like it. Remember? So compassion, mercy, building on, but I don't feel like it. And we've all said, I don't feel like getting up this morning. I don't feel like cutting 5 cords of wood today and loading them. I don't feel like going and doing this. We all say it. And Charles Stanley said, you know, God understands that. But if you go on nothing but the feelings, I don't feel like doing this, that's exactly where it's going to go. Nowhere. Flat. Over. He said, but if you get up and you act, I don't feel like going to church. Well, put on a shirt, he said, and put on your shoes and get in the car and drive to church. If you act like doing what you should be doing, he says, eventually you're going to feel like, yeah. You ever come to prayer meeting? Did you ever come to prayer meeting? No. Did you ever come to prayer? Did you ever come to prayer meeting and before it you feel like, I don't want to go. Amen. I've got so much to do. Amen. I don't, you know, it's just going to be so and so there. And but once you leave this place, I don't know about you, but my feet don't touch the ground on the way home. It's like, thank you. Thank you. I don't feel like going to Bible study. I get another half an hour of sleep if I don't go there. Wait till you hear the wisdom that God can impart in a Bible study, woman study, men's study, back study. Amen. So I guess what I'm saying is don't give up. Any one of us. We should be here to help one another too. And if you feel like giving up, don't be embarrassed of that. It's a human response, emotional response to the things of this world. We should be helping each other through this with that compassion. With that love, giving it as we're going to in a little bit to the Lord, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But apart from him, we've learned this, I can do nothing. So the Holy Spirit, I feel, is trying to urge each and every one of us through this Hebrews 6 section is don't give up, don't give in, but it's going to take consistent work. Consistent, not just one time here and I'll go to one Bible study or I'll try church once a month. It's going to be consistent work, but it will produce fruit. It will produce assurance of hope to the end. Do you have hope? Because that's what we're going to look at next week, the week after. That hope is unbelievable. And I remember John Maxwell said, if there is no hope in the present, there is no power for the future. Hope is going to be something that we have to add to our faith. Ma's writing that one down. If there's no hope in the present, there's no hope in the present, there's no power for the future. Father God, help us, each one of us. We understand. We know. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. Help us, Lord, because I know that, as verse 9 said, I'm persuaded better of each and every person that's here. Why? Because they're here. They're not somewhere else. They haven't given up. We're trying to plod on through this, Lord. So give us that strength by your Spirit, that we'd each see some fruit in us, Lord, that we'd see something new begin to take form here in the days that we have left, and that we might be able to just step out these doors to all men somehow, some way, to bring the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Phew. We're going to go to the table. I've said it before. The table isn't about me. The table is about the Lord. Or what do you call this? A tapestry of some sort? The tapestry is do this in remembrance of me. I say that all the time, but we have to. What did he do? What did he promise? Not where I was this week, not what I felt I should have. Do this in remembrance of the promises, because this is the perfect thing. Look at that. You can read it, right? But look at that. Well, it's just as good. Usually a tapestry on the other side is just knots and strings, and it's like, what is that? But you go like that, and it's a beautiful picture. God's got something at the table for you today. Don't keep yourself from the table for whatever the reason might be. Give it to him. Let's bring it to him. Yeah.
Before you go into...
Oh, you got the song.
Yeah, well, we got a song, but also I wanted to say something to confirm.